Hey, John.
Here I am.
Oh, I see where we're going with this
one. Bomb you like a hurricane.
And this is Stranger Still. Welcome to Stranger Still,
a podcast where we bomb the hurricanes with the answers of the what would happen.
That's right. I'm Nick Wood.
I'm John Vegan.
John, let's imagine a crazy world where you are an evil scientist. What's the first thing you build?
A bomb.
Okay, the second thing you build.
That makes clones. You bomb it and then it just duplicates what it lands on.
That's not what I was going for.
And then I bomb it on like a delicious factory.
What?
A factory that makes delicious stuff like
Hostess or something?
Yeah, that's what a vegan wants.
Doritos?
Yeah, only the spicy one.
Yeah. No, you're wrong. The answer is a weather control machine. That's what every evil scientist built all the time for some reason is a weather control machine.
That's my second on the list.
Second one down?
I use my army of clones to build a weather machine.
Oh, got it.
You're so bad at this.
So you bomb yourself, you clone yourself, and then you use your clones like the Jackal from Spider-Man to...
Yeah.
Got it.
Precisely.
So why is it that weather control machines are always the things that supervillains go for?
Because you could wreak havoc.
But you could also build a bomb.
Well, I said a bomb.
You could also, like, make a robot that spits out money.
Yeah, but who needs money when you can make it rain?
Hey! So this might seem unconnected, but you've been following the news lately, right?
Only 3 hours a day.
Yeah. So you know that Hurricane Dorian is either on its way or already passed by the time this comes out. And you can't talk about hurricanes these days without talking about climate change, because we're seeing more hurricanes these days, because just to quickly gloss over this, the warmer waters don't tamp down the hurricanes before they touch land. And rather than doing something about it, Trump had a brilliant idea.
Mm-hmm.
He said something along the lines of, I got it. Why don't we nuke them? They start forming off the coast of Africa as they're moving across the Atlantic. We drop a bomb inside the eye of a hurricane and it disrupts it. Why can't we do that?
Yeah.
But he says he didn't do it. He said he didn't say that.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. I'm sure he didn't.
He's never lied to the American people.
Holy hell. I know he has access to the internet in the White House, right? They got Wi-Fi.
Yeah.
He probably doesn't know the password.
But probably not.
That's literal. But if he did, he could YouTube and find out in about two minutes.
He could. But this, I mean,
what would happen?
In his defense, this isn't a new idea. I found articles going all the way, like from Life Science, going all the way back to 2012, addressing this topic. Like even relaying this to people, they responded by going, well, why couldn't we just nuke a hurricane? And depending on who you ask, the government already controls the weather, so they can just stop a hurricane.
Yeah.
I think we talked about this on the Gwen Towers episode. So there's that station in Alaska that supposedly shot a beam down that started a tropical storm or something. Maybe I didn't talk about that. Maybe we'll talk in a bonus episode this
month. Okay, fair.
So while saying the cut... Here's the thing. The government does control the weather. But that's really misleading. We'll get into more.
What?
Yeah, it's weird. So... I don't want to bury the lead. Uh-huh. Many governments have been working...
Oh, we're out of time. I guess you'll have to explain next week.
No.
I've been John. Is that what we say?
Yeah. So many different governments, like any government, has been trying to work on controlling the weather for like 80 years at this point. In fact, China says they do it all the time. They claim to have seeded clouds right before the 2008 Olympics to ensure good weather during the games. They also have plans to set up several cloud seeding stations across like this one area to create or to control downpours on their crop and have bountiful harvests and whatnot.
You ever see some cloud sprouts floating up there?
Mm-hmm. You got to seed them.
Cuties.
You got to seed them to get that, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'll talk about cloud seeding more in a second, but I want to answer, can a nuke disrupt a hurricane? But I also want to take this opportunity to discuss something I find way more interesting, which is other ways people through the ages have tried to control the weather. And I'm not even talking like rain dances or snake oil salesmen that used to go around in the 1800s saying that they could, like, people would sell lightning rods and stuff like that, and that's fine. But people also went around saying, you pay me $2,000, I'll make it rain, or I'll make it not rain.
You know, I used to know someone that used to say the same thing to me.
What's that?
$2,000 and you're gonna make it rain.
Yeah.
Only in singles. It was weird.
get some nickels, make it hail. Yeah. So to answer the hurricane thing first, the answer is no, but I'm going to save the answer as to why later on in the episode. No, a nuke will not disrupt a hurricane. But you're going to have to sit through the rest of this to find out why. See how I did that? So most of what I'm going to talk about has to do with rain. So you're going to be making a lot of make it rain jokes, and that's fine.
I already used them up.
You've expended it.
Yeah, there's a drought.
So our story starts with this thing called silver iodide and cloud seeding, which I've already mentioned. Cloud seeding, do you have any idea what that would be?
Yeah, it's like when your seeding is so bad in the stadium.
Okay. Now I thought you
might as
go.
Well be in the clouds.
I was like going like I was thinking like a Johnny Appleseed route. So he walks on the clouds and just seeds the clouds. Never mind, that must be a Midwestern thing.
So we had Johnny Appleseed in New York.
Oh, okay. So cloud seeding is the idea of tossing something into a cloud to make that cloud start raining or snowing. In 1946, a couple of chemists by the name of Irving Langmuir, maybe, and Vincent Schaefer found a way to do this. And I realize today, no one names their kids Irving anymore. I think they should do that.
You messed up already.
What?
You could have had an Irving.
That's true. Well, I can't name my daughter Irving.
Why?
Okay, I guess you're right. The patriarchy wins. So we started to learn that in order for a cloud to begin raining, the water particles that float up and make the clouds have to freeze. They can be really cold, but they might not freeze unless they have something like a different particle to glob onto and start freezing, like a dust particle or something like
glob
that.
Glob onto.
You like that phrase?
It's great.
It came up like 20 times in every article I read. I didn't have it in my notes anywhere. I was like, I'm not going to say glob, and then I said glob. It's not a pleasing word. But once the water freezes...
It's pleasing in Adventure Time terms. Oh, my glob.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Who is that from Adventure Time?
Princess.
Take a sip of that water. Yeah, you look dehydrated. Let's go on.
So once the water freezes enough and the ice gets big enough, it falls from the cloud. And as it returns to the earth, if it warms up enough, it can become rain. Or if it stays frozen, it snows. That's where we get precipitation from. So Langmuir and Schaefer found if they put already formed ice crystals in a cloud, it will begin to snow or precipitate. And then they found another chemist, Bernard Vonnegut. He joined them, and they found that if they put silver iodide in the cloud, that the water particles could really easily latch onto that, and it would start the freezing process, and precipitation would follow. So I will say silver iodide works, but it's not very reliable. In some cases, it doesn't do anything at all. The water already has to be like super cold at a freezing temperature. It just can't freeze yet.
You're just kind of pushing it over the edge.
Exactly. By introducing another particle.
So, the glob.
In order to attach, it has to glob. For it to glob onto like silver iodide, it has to be really cold.
Does it glob off when it falls down?
Yeah.
Does it say it's globbing outside?
You could say that.
Okay.
Oh my glob, it's globbing outside. Oh my glob. It's
okay.
Princess.
It was Lumpy's face, Princess.
It's Princess. I will say, in some cases, it works too much. For instance, in 1952, the British Royal Air Force ran a secret project called Operation Cumulus, and they found some clouds, dumped a bunch of silver iodide and dry ice to get everything to super freezing temperatures, and then salt for some reason. And once it started raining...
For flavor.
What? For flavor. Yeah. Once it started raining, that day they saw 90 million tons of water flow through the town of Lynmouth, and 35 people ended up dying from this downpour, either from floods or, they just drowned by looking up, I guess.
Yeah, it sounds like it. Jeez.
90 million tons from this cloud seeding operation. And I bring this up because people
Why don't you test over a field first or something like that?
I think they did.
Okay.
But then like it got caught in whatever the river is that runs through there and started flooding everything.
Oh, man.
So I bring this up because people are still experimenting with silver iodide today. Apparently like ski resorts use them. I mentioned China uses them. And it would become the basis for many of the other things the government has tried through the years, such as this little operation called Operation Storm Fury.
I heard of it.
You have?
I actually started doing a little research because it's stupid not to.
That's fine. So Operation Storm Fury was a bunch of experiments that the U.S. ran between 1961 or 62, depending on which website you go to, and ended in 1983. And they were like, hey, we got the silver iodide stuff. What if we could just fly a couple crappy planes up over a hurricane? Sounds safe. Drop some silver iodide into the eye walls of this hurricane, and it would cause enough disruption to reduce the hurricanes by like 10% or so.
Oh, by the way, just and for the context of that, hurricanes have eyelids. They're called eye walls.
Yeah. Gross.
That's what you're... I mean, don't you have a wall on your eye that you open and close?
Yeah, but when you add a noun like wall to it. Just, it's like when you say I'm gonna kiss you with my mouth hole, it's right, but it sounds weird.
Yeah.
Anyway, so they worked on it for a really long time. Like, if you can do math, it spanned more than 20 years, and the actual experiments only were performed over 8 days, and some days apparently saw like a 10 to 30% decrease in the storm, and they're like, hot damn, this could work. And then the 90s rolled around and they had observed,
they realized they were very high up in the plains. And yeah, on drugs.
And on drugs. They
probably
were, they watched hurricanes that they didn't put silver iodide in, and noticed that there would also just be a random 10 to 30% decrease on any given day. And they noticed that hurricanes just go through these cycles. That's just what hurricanes do.
What were those cycles called? They're called concentric eyewall cycles.
Yeah.
It's naturally, it naturally occurs in intense tropical cyclones.
Tropical storms in general.
As they reach their threshold of intensity, they usually, but not always, have an eyewall that just like chills out.
So ebbs and flows. I mean, that's just how it is. And this is with the Hurricane Research Division of the Atlantic Oceanographic and Meteorological Laboratory said on the demise of what the demise of Operation Storm Fury was. They said first that cloud seeding had little prospect of success because hurricanes contain too much natural ice and too little super cooled water, like we talked about before. And then the second thing was that the positive results inferred from the seeding experiments in the 1960s stemmed from inability to discriminate between the expected results of human intervention and the natural behavior of hurricanes.
So it didn't do anything.
Yeah, so there's like, oh, it's doing great. And then they're like, no. Poor guys. Can you imagine? Actually, one of the guys died before he found out that, like, this is just normal things for hurricanes to happen.
He thought he had this big...
Yeah, so he did this thing, and then, like, in 65 or something, he passed away and never knew that his experiment was bunk.
No.
Poor guy.
Bummer.
But apparently weather control is just hot during the 60s, because also during this time, the U.S. government was experimenting on a project called Operation Popeye.
Oh, boy. That was to a bunch of spinach in the water, right?
Yeah, it's exactly what it was. It lasted from 1967.
Punch it away.
Punch the hurricane.
Have everyone on the shore hold hands and eat spinach night before.
So it lasted from 1967 to 1972, so right in the window of Operation Storm Fury. And this was even more top secret, and it had nothing to do with chicken. So the purpose of Operation Popeye was to extend the monsoon season and flood the Ho Chi Minh Trail in Vietnam. Any idea why they might want to cause disruption in Vietnam during this time?
War?
Huh. What is it good for?
Absolutely nothing, which is probably what this method did.
Exactly. So the Vietnam War was going on. It lasted from 55 to 75. And we were doing all kinds of horrible things to make some headway in a place we had no business being.
Yeah.
And all in the name of preventing the spread of communism. And we all know how well that worked out, don't we?
Yeah. Bernie 2020.
You damn socialist.
That's what those trolls tell me every day.
So Operation Popeye.
I love him. I don't want anybody that's listening for the first time.
Yeah.
Come on.
But they call him a communist for sure. So Operation Popeye went by names like Project Controlled Weather Popeye, or Project Motor Pool, or Project Intermediary Compatriot.
Not as catchy.
No, that's hard to say.
But probably easier to get away with than boring paperwork.
Mm-hmm. So it was meant to make it rain more, basically, in the hopes of giving our troops the upper hand. They wanted to flood this trail so that they couldn't use it to move their troops. So they had these planes, they flew them up. They're going to seed the clouds with either silver or lead iodide. Dry ice. They'd load them in this cartridge, and then when they get to the clouds, they'd explode out, and the particles would spread out on these clouds, and then they would cross their fingers. And supposedly, we saw an increase in rain of up to 30% in, quote, limited areas. But, and I quote again, this figure admittedly was the result of empirical and theoretical techniques based on units expended and the physical properties of the air mass seeded, which basically means they have no idea if it worked.
Yeah. I feel like they spent all this money because they got a military contract.
It was,
and like, then when you asked them, they said, "Oh, it's the expended materials of the
And then they just take a sip from their water when they can't think of a princess's name.
Right. Right, you mouthhole.
So this apparently cost taxpayers at the time like $3.6 million a year. But that wasn't just this project. That was other top secret Vietnam projects. And the funny thing is they didn't know if it worked, and they couldn't continue their experiments to find out if it did work, because this was very top secret, and eventually it leaked out and people kind of freaked out. They're like, what if people start using weather as warfare? So the UN became concerned and pushed a treaty to ban weather modification warfare. And this the Operation Popeye basically single-handedly created this treaty, so the US had to join it, and they did so in 1978. So there you go. We can't use weather warfare thanks to Operation Popeye.
All right. That's fair enough. And boy howdy, we didn't even start to approach all
Operation
the other problems.
Olive oil? Oh.
No. Operation Pluto would have been cooler. But there's a lot. I feel like those are the only two that I found that were like, well, we don't know if this works or not. Yeah. And then the rest of them are like, there's no way this is going to get somewhere.
Yeah, there were a lot that I just didn't do. Like, there was a project called FIDO, where it was like fog dispersal techniques. They had a bunch of made-up acronyms, but it was basically they wanted to get rid of fog on airfields, and they launched like millions of gallons of gas and lit it on fire to heat up the air runways. And it like hardly worked.
Yeah.
So they're wasting all this fuel, and it lasts for 20 seconds.
Think of all the techniques we've talked about so far. Even if you get to like modern day, and we've got modern nuclear technology, mm-hmm. the strength of a hurricane's eye, like,
oh, that's exactly what it is. So I guess the reason I bring all this up is because we've already tried a bunch of other safer techniques to disperse of hurricanes and tropical storms and control the weather.
Yeah.
It's been going on for 80 years.
Until we get to the American version.
We got shooting guns at it.
We got shooting guns at it.
We got shooting guns. You sent me a screenshot. What was that? It's like a...
it was, can hurricanes... Should we nuke a hurricane? And then
a video on YouTube.
Yeah. Yeah, and then underneath, Kim Jong-un commented, sounds like something I would do LOL.
It wasn't a verified account, though, unfortunately.
Nah.
So I guess my question is, why do so many people think a nuke would be the answer to a hurricane? The National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration apparently has been asked this like several times
enough
every
for
year
them
since
to put
the
it
60s.
On their, yeah, yeah, on their website on FAQ.
There's a whole section on their website as to things that everyone asks about, like, why can't we just, I don't know,
can we just
point
nuke
fans
it?
At it?
That's Article C on
yeah,
their site.
Yeah, Article C on their website. So I think so many people put thought into it because a hurricane is just like this huge high and low air pressure system. So if you can disrupt the air pressure, a bomb would certainly do that, right? You get the big shock waves that mm-hmm. would mess with an air pressure system. The way a hurricane forms, it's just like a normal storm. Like, water evaporates, and as the moisture rises, it sucks all the air up. So it creates this low pressure zone, like right above the ocean surface. Yeah,
so it's all fed by the heat that's rising off the water.
Right.
That's why you don't see hurricanes in Arctic
right.
conditions.
And then when the moisture gets to the top, it starts to cool down. So it comes out to the edges and it starts a convection cycle, just like a convection oven. It starts like a circle, basically. And that air moving from the top to the bottom then creates a high pressure system on the top. So this just builds and builds upon itself, and it's using a lot of energy to do it. It's like a very effective water engine.
Yeah, I saw something like 100 nuclear bombs going off every 20 minutes.
I got stats. It depends on the bomb that you're looking at. So you're right, though. The hurricane's energy output is just too strong. And if you dropped a nuke into it, it would only disrupt it for a couple seconds. And if you dropped a bomb on it, the explosion would then be carried out by the high pressure system. The low pressure would just come back in, and it would basically do nothing to this hurricane. Just mm-hmm. one bomb. Like, it would just be like if you, I don't know,
like
a mosquito stinging
even.
It, right?
Yeah.
So in theory, you'd have to release several bombs continuously for it to have an impact, but that's not feasible for a hurricane because a lot of reasons, mostly math. The largest nuke ever dropped was the Tsar bomb over the Arctic Sea in 1961, and the Tsar bomb was 50 megatons of power. A hurricane produces only 20 megatons of power every 20 seconds.
Yeah.
So
and it's dispersed over the size of Texas.
Exactly.
Usually.
So, you know, little boy, the bomb that we dropped in Hiroshima, right? Mm-hmm. That was 15 kilotons, which is a lot smaller than certainly the Tsar bomb. But to disrupt a hurricane, you'd have to drop 2,000 little boys every hour for the duration of the hurricane in order to stop it. So basically, one little boy every other second. So one Mississippi drop, two Mississippi, three Mississippi drop.
Yeah.
It'd be like that for an hour. And not to mention all of the nuclear fallout that would cause from 2,000 little boys.
Yeah, and if you're worried about plastic straws for turtles, oh boy.
It'd be a load of nukes. So the little boy...
We're going to have Teenage Ninja Turtle armies coming out of the water after that.
A lot of SpongeBob SquarePants. Mm-hmm. So little boy killed between 90,000 and 146,000 people. And of course, the bomb was dropped directly on Hiroshima. But you can imagine the fallout of 2,000 of those just being... tossed around by a hurricane. Like, wind is already effective enough to carry nuclear fallout. Like, when Fukushima, the nuclear power plant in Japan, had a meltdown, it was a very low dose, but some radiation was carried over to the United States in a matter of 10 days. Mm-hmm. It was very little, but that's how far the nuclear fallout goes
without
just
a
from
storm.
Wind. Without a storm.
Now imagine having, like,
ridiculously high. Now imagine having the size of Texas tossing this stuff around. Like... When there's a hurricane down in the Gulf, it rains up here in Iowa. Mm-hmm. It's happening today as Dorian is coming through.
Yeah,
through the Gulf. Just imagine if that was carrying things that shreds your body apart, that makes your cells mutate.
Yeah, we'd all be dead.
It would result in millions of deaths and unusable land for like decades. Mm-hmm. So sorry,
yeah,
Trump.
That's the quickest way to Mad Max us.
Yeah, is to drop a bomb. One bomb into a hurricane would
which would
probably
stop
do
it for
enough.
A couple of seconds and kill everyone in the United States.
Yeah,
over slowly and painfully.
Yeah,
from starvation too. Eventually, those that survived, it's just the worst.
I know, everyone's dead, mm-hmm. and it's very sad. Mad Max, Fury Road was a very good movie.
It was really good. I can't wait for the Water Wars in 30 years. The real ones.
What's that Kevin Water World Kevin Costner movie?
Oh gosh,
have you seen that?
Yeah,
I've seen clips. It's something.
It's worth mentioning.
So I guess my point is, sorry Trump,
yeah,
another stupid idea out of your stupid mouth. Did I say that out loud? You know, I do wonder where he got the idea from, and maybe we should discuss that after the break.
Yeah, I think that'd be good.
You
to
do
know.
That all right, we'll be right back. John.
Yeah.
Where can people find us?
You already did a good job.
Hey, yeah.
Because you
great
found
job
us.
Finding us. Now tell your friends about
where
it.
Where can you tell other people to find us?
You can tell them to go to iTunes or the Google Podcasts app or mm-hmm. Stitcher or Spotify mm-hmm. or pretty much any podcatcher.
Do you know how important it is for them to leave a review?
Super important.
Like, very much so. And like, why does every podcast mention it at the end of every show?
Because that's how we get... If you leave a review, that's like the main metric that iTunes uses to pop podcasts up to the top. So
right.
If you type in a
and
in
how
a
do we
topic,
get most of our views?
iTunes.
Right.
It's like 50% of our listens.
Yeah.
So leave a review. We'll read it on the air. We haven't gotten any since last week, but apparently when you did say, hey, Google, remind me to write a review for Stranger Still, it did come up on my wife's phone.
Yeah. Or it was, okay, Google, remind me to make a review on the phone.
Sorry.
Or, hey, Siri, remind me to leave a review for Stranger Still.
Your phone's listening to you.
A review for a Stranger Still to your reminders.
Perfect. Now go leave a review. What else do we have to discuss?
Oh, yeah. Speculations, right?
Yeah,
this,
of course.
This Donald boy.
So Donald Trump, he's...
It's just... We don't like to get political on the show because we want to make sure that everybody's welcome and that we're bringing everybody in. But if you're Republican, you're probably a fascist, awful, horrible, garbage
yeah.
human.
At this point, we have a 3 out of 4 chance of having someone on our side and okay. only a 1 in 4 chance of pissing
yeah.
someone
I
off.
I was just... I'm like... Obviously, I'm... being dramatic there, but we have no problems getting into politics.
Yeah.
But yeah, Trump is an idiot, and most of the things I think that he regurgitates is just from Fox and Friends. Like,
you think so? You think they're like, we should nuke it?
Well, I could see that little the one that kind of looks like a child in a suit. I don't know his name. One of the Fox and Friends. One of the friends.
That's all of them. No. I know what you're talking about.
There's one particular one. And sometimes he says some things that are like not the dumbest.
Anyway. Oh, that guy. He kind of looks like a turtle.
No, not...
Oh.
Nah, he doesn't look like a turtle. He looks like his mom bought him a suit for his confirmation.
Okay,
and
you look him up. I'm going to talk about where I think he got the
all
idea
right,
from.
That's my answer, is Fox and Friends.
Here's a little... This one's a little bit out there, but I think that Donald Trump, he doesn't like to read. So what do you do when you don't like to read?
Brian Kilmeade? Yeah.
Yeah, I guess he was like a little boy. His mom dressed him up.
Well, it's not even like just the way he physically looks. That's fine.
Yeah.
It's just the things that come out of his mouth make him look that way. It like changes his physical appearance when the garbage that comes out of his mouth is spread across the world because he's one of the most powerful people in the country now.
Yeah. So, as I was saying before, so rudely interrupted by Brian Kilmeade, I think that Donald Trump doesn't read. I don't think he knows how. So what do you do when you can't read?
You repeat.
Well, you watch Fox, but when you're not watching Fox, you probably watch movies. And I honestly think he probably got the idea from the Jerry Bruckheimer smash hit from 2017.
Oh, boy.
Geostorm.
Geostorm. Wow. Let's shout out the Flophouse, too, then.
Yeah. So just so everyone knows, this has a 14% on Rotten Tomatoes and a 21 on Metacritic. It's a really good movie.
And a 100 in Trump lands.
Oh, in Trump lands hearts. I don't know. Like... I do want to give him a little bit of credit because I don't think it's totally out there if you're just like, a bomb would take care of a tornado, right? Or what's a big tornado?
Here's the thing.
It's a hurricane.
From all the research that I've found, there was this one page that I found on here that was talking about, I mean, they list on the AOML site, the NOAA.
Yeah, NOAA.
The NOAA site. It's the Atlantic version. That's
yeah, read us this list.
Yeah, let me find you the list quick. I didn't have the list up. I had something else. Okay. Tropical cyclone modifications myths. C1. Doesn't the low pressure in tropical cyclone centers cause a storm surge? Doesn't the friction over land kill tropical storms? But then we get into why don't we destroy tropical cyclones by pick one or more? C5-1. Seeding them with silver iodide. Covered that.
Yep, we did.
Placing a substance on the ocean surface to prevent it from evaporating. And that was you had to have like you'd cover the entire ocean with like soot.
Yeah.
Nuking them. That was 3. Nope. Adding water absorption substances like silicone packets.
That sounds so dangerous. Then you just have a bunch of like rock hard.
Everyone empty your shoes.
Sulfur packets, like the beef jerky packets raining down your head.
I mean, we've made enough of them and they're going to end up in the ocean anyway.
Yeah.
Cooling the surface waters with icebergs or deep ocean water. You'd have to tow an iceberg at like 500 miles per hour. Cooling the waters with icebergs or deep ocean water, which means that you'd have to predict like, I think it was at 100 miles per hour. Let's see what it says here. Now, if the hurricane's moving at 10 miles an hour, it will sweep 7,200 square miles. That's a lot of icebergs for 24 hours of the cyclone's life. The other was altering their heat balance using high altitude particles, seeding them with hydroscopic particles, and then other means. And this is where I clicked, and it actually made me feel a little inspirational.
Okay.
The kinetic energy of the wind at any instant was equivalent to that released by a nuclear warhead. Perhaps if time comes when men and women can travel at nearly the speed of light to the stars, we will then have enough energy for brute force intervention in hurricane dynamics.
That's pretty good.
It's just that our technology is not advanced enough.
Right.
And if we were like, I don't know what type, do you know what type civilization we are? Like type 1, type 2?
I think it's out of 4, right?
Great.
We're at like a 3, like 4. The highest one is when you get
intergalactic travel.
Intergalactic travel.
Yeah. Aliens come, they could stop hurricanes probably. Yeah. We're not there yet.
Yeah.
I think the answer is going to be something with like, you know, you ever watch, I remember seeing Cosmos.
Yeah.
And they were talking about how the cell is a powerhouse and it's more powerful than like... for scale than a nuclear like reaction whatever. I think we could figure out how to like use nature to create energy in that way.
So I want to come back to that, but I have one thing first, which is that we have a conspiracy theorist in office. I'm surprised he wasn't like, can we just like use our machines on it, guys? Can't we just like go down to the weather control station and just like tell them to turn it off? I'm surprised that's not what he said. My second thing is I have this crazy idea on how to take care of this. Okay, ready?
Okay.
Fix climate change.
Oh, wow.
Whoa. Like,
yeah.
Why would we nuke something if we could just, you know, cut down on emissions or have renewable resources or even nuclear power plants that take coal power plants and gas power plants off the market and you're still using nuclear energy? You still get your bomb, dude. Come on.
Yeah.
It's a win-win at this point.
You can make like little movie theaters inside so you can watch the little explosions go off and satisfy all the military nerds.
Yeah, dude. So here's the thing.
I'd go there, actually.
You can defeat the hurricane 1,000 paper cuts at a time.
Yeah.
With a nuclear power plant.
Mm-hmm. And here's the other thing. That this article, this is actually the same thing from the same site, the NOAA.
Yeah.
They said, perhaps the best solution is not to try to alter or destroy the tropical cyclones, but to learn to coexist better with them. Since we know the coastal regions are vulnerable to the storms, building codes that have houses stand it up to the force of tropical cyclones needed to be enforced. The people that choose to live in these locations should be willing, should a fair portion of the cost come from property insurance, not have exorbitant rates, educate the public on effective preparedness, and kind of like understand, hey, you're living here, hurricanes are going to happen. This even if climate change was perfect, this is part of something that happens. If you don't like it, maybe move north a little bit. But
Yeah, how dare we care about our planet?
Ah, shucks.
Ah, shoot. I'm still Nick.
I'm still John.
This is Stranger Still.
I give you the incredible flying machine.